After 2 days in port, the Fast Division put to sea again for an operation in the north part of Heligoland Bight. As we cleared Spurn Point, a grey sky closed down on us, while an easterly wind blew strongly over the surface of an oily sea. A heavy groundswell, extending offshore for many miles, undulated steadily across our course and made the ship twist heavily in a combined pitch and roll. As the wind increased in force, the corkscrew, dot and carry one motion, became more pronounced, and the mines bumped and strained uneasily on their rails. But they were not only uneasy things on board this morning, as the greenish complexion of most of the ship's company advertised. The junior sub and I took the forenoon watch, and for a short time the captain was on the bridge, but eventually he decided that he disliked the flavour of his pipe and went below. The sub, later Rear Admiral Sir William Jimison, was quite cheerfully sick into a canvas bucket, thoughtfully provided by the boatswain's mate. As for me, I felt not too bad for the moment. At noon, the sub and I left the bridge, and I entered the chart house to copy the details from the navigation notebook into the ship's log and to check our position on the chart. The motion was much more obvious there, and the chart table kept swinging about before the eyes in a most disturbing manner. I felt relieved when I left the wheelhouse a few moments later and slid down the ladders from the signal platform to the forecastle, and from there to the wet and heaving upper deck, along which I went with one hand on the lifeline. Down below in the wardroom, the atmosphere was potted and stank of food. Nobody looked happy, except the chief, who looked vulgarly fit. Dinner was in progress, and I lay on the settee alongside the table and announced that all I wanted was ship's biscuits and water. But I'd hardly wedged myself in position and opened a book when the chief turned round and presented a dish of hot baked beans in front of my nose and asked me if I would not change my mind. That was too much, and I retired defeated. A little later, I went up top to get some fresh air and found the wardroom cook busy in the galley. He was talking to one of the stewards when a steep sea caused him to sit back rather heavily on the stove. He got off again before much damage was done, but his language was expressive and his final remark very much to the point. "Talk about Britannia rules the waves," he shouted. "I wish he'd bleeding well rule them straight." As the mines were dancing more gently by this time, we were not surprised when Blue 16 appeared at Abdul's masthead. We made a 16-point turn and headed for home.